The Defense Department's efforts to prevent suicide have borne some fruit. The overall rate dropped by 15% last year, and that good news, though, masks some trouble in the Army, National Guard, and Reserve. There, the rate increased, leaving some to question whether the Defense Department is reaching those who don't live on base. It's even harder to say whether recent veterans are benefiting from the efforts. Jackie Mafucci is the research director at Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America, and she joins us now. Jackie, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So, Jackie, let's start with the overall picture, because it is good news. The Defense Department estimates the suicide rate dropped by as much as 18%, although that's still a bit foggy, among active duty troops. So what is it doing right there?
Well, you know, it's always hard to know what is happening that causes these changes in the numbers. You know, it could be enhanced efforts on the programmatic side. It could be part of the drawdown and just kind of a natural outcome. We really don't know. I mean, that's really the end game, is that we don't know. Our Department of Defense has put forward a lot of efforts to address this. So it's really hard to know what is working, what could be causing that decrease that we see.
And this is a question you might be able to answer, and I'm not sure, and we'll understand if you can't, but are there any metrics extant that talk about how many suicides might have been prevented? I mean, data from hotlines and that kind of thing?
Right. So, again, super challenging to measure that. Now, we do know with the Veterans Crisis Line and the Military Crisis Line that that has been really effective just in, you know, as a mechanism for that immediate intervention. This is a hotline that veterans and service members can call, press one, and be connected to someone who does have, who is a veteran themselves, who can intervene in a crisis moment. And there are some metrics out of the crisis line specifically.
Well, the government has so much of an influence over the lives, the daily lives of the people who live on base. But how much is getting out to, again, those Army, National Guard, and Reserve members, the veterans, those who we see have not been helped as much in the last year?
Right, and that's such a challenge, and it is important to note that these numbers don't include the veteran population. And, you know, per the Department of Veterans Affairs, the numbers that we have estimating the veteran suicides is 22 veterans a day that are dying by suicide. So this is a population that's not counted in the numbers that are just out from DOD. So this really highlights the need not only to focus in on that active component population, but again, the reserve component and the veterans who, as you mentioned, you know, they may not be on or around an installation. There might be more challenges to getting access to services. And so ensuring that there is a nationwide network of care that all of these individuals can access.
And just to make sure we understand what's going on, the Army National Guard numbers were 152 last year. That's up from 140, a 12-person difference. Is that, in the association, your association's view, a statistically significant difference year to year?
So when you consider that, you really need to look at the population overall. But really, at the end of the day, you know, what we want to look at is the fact that suicide is still a problem. This is something that the military, the DOD, and the VA are still working to address. And really, the nation overall should be moved by these numbers to really join that fight as well. So IAVA, we've launched this year our campaign to combat suicide. And really what we're doing in that campaign is calling for a nationwide response. This really isn't going to happen with just the DOD or just the VA. It needs to happen within the communities where we're getting services that are coordinating across the board to make sure that there is a network-wide system of care for our service members and our veterans.
Because that raises an interesting question, because so much of the advertising about services for veterans and so much of the literature emphasizes the fact that since no one but another veteran can understand what someone went through in combat, for example, and that might be true, that therefore the implication is only they can help one another. But sounds like you're saying that maybe there's another way people that have not been there or are not veterans can still play a role in helping this as a community.
Absolutely. And actually, we just, IAVA in February launched our annual member survey. And what this does is it surveys our population, our membership, on certain questions and issues that they're facing. And in our mental health section, one of the questions we asked our members was, have you had someone that has recommended you seek help? And if so, did you as a result? And of the people who had someone, of the respondents who had someone suggest help, almost 80% said they sought it as a result. So that in and of itself shows the power of just someone who, a family member, a friend saying, hey, I don't think you're doing well. Have you thought about talking to someone about it?
We're speaking with Jackie Mafucci, and she is Research Director of Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America. But what can the government do, the Defense Department and VA in particular, to reach these Guard members and also veterans who might be scattered and not directly or within easy distance of some sort of health center or clinic where they might be able to get relief?
Right. So, I mean, this is really important because, we at IAVA feel that it's not just VA and DOD. It needs to be a community-wide approach, partly because, particularly in the post 9/11 generation of veterans, about 60% are using VA services. So that leaves 40% who aren't even seeking care at the VA. You know, this is something really important to understand, that the VA is there for service members, for veterans, but not everybody is going to use it, and certainly it's not a requirement that they use it.
And so what are some reasons why they don't use it?
For some, it could be that they, there might be a trust factor that they don't, they've heard some bad things about the VA and they don't want to try it out. For others, it could just be that they do, through their jobs, have health care and are seeking care at a private provider. I mean, there are a number of different reasons that we suspect that they're not using it.
And what do we know so far that are effective strategies for people once they've been identified and once they agree to help?
And that, that's the big piece, is identification and then help seeking. We know that getting help, it helps. So, I mean, the big piece is going and seeking out that care and really working through the problems that you're having. And this can be really hard. One, because it's very hard for an individual and for people who are around that individual to actually recognize that they have a problem, that they have an issue that they might need some help dealing with, and then to seek that care. It can be really difficult to get into care and to find someone that you really click with when you get into care, but it really is about sticking with it and getting that help.
And does either DOD or VA offer this type of counseling to families, meaning before there is a crisis, do they teach family members what signs to look for, what words to say that would provoke a response, a good response, like seeking help as opposed to a defensive response or a worse response?
Sure. And through the Defense Centers of Excellence website and the VA website, there are a lot of kind of online materials and resources that both DOD and VA put out in an attempt to really get that information out to the families.
All right. So, I guess then the question is, notwithstanding that VA and DOD should not be solely responsible for all of this, what would you like them to do anyhow, in addition to everything else you're proposing about the community?
So one of the things that we're really pushing with our campaign to combat suicide is this legislation, which is called the SAVE Act. And what this legislation is proposing, one of the pieces is we'd like to see the VA have this availability to provide some added incentives to getting psychiatrists into their services, just making sure that the VA has enough mental health providers. We're also really pushing for the Department of Defense and VA to have this interoperable medical record system, So through some of these pieces in this legislation, and I encourage folks to look at the SAVE Act, the Suicide Prevention for America's Veterans Act, this really is a comprehensive bill, we feel, that's really trying to enhance what's already available at DOD and VA. This is an act that's been introduced from Senator John Walsh in Montana. So we're really excited to support it, and we really encourage individuals to take a look and to support it as well.
It sounds like it pushes the two agencies in the route that they already know they need to go, but perhaps they've been slow in getting there.
Absolutely, and it is. It's about the two agencies working together. We need to recognize that Department of Defense and VA, they're dealing with the same population, just in different statuses, right? For Department of Defense, you've got active service. With the VA, you've got veterans who have now transitioned out. But it's the same population, and so they need to continue to improve that relationship of working together.
Jackie Mafucci is Research Director at Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.